At the end of the tunnel, that beacon of common sense you see up ahead. The Liberty Lighthouse with Peter Serafin is on now.
Hello, my fellow patriots and freedom fighters. Welcome to Liberty Lighthouse. You know, this month marks 3 years that I've been hosting Liberty Lighthouse, and until now, I've never missed an episode. Every week, I have brought you a fresh new Liberty Lighthouse episode. But this week, I've decided to take a break. Don't worry, though. I have handpicked the best fill-in substitute host that I could find, and I am sure that he or she will do a fabulous job filling in, so much so that you might even ask to have them do the show regularly. Now, without any further ado, let's allow him or her to fill in and be the best fill-in host ever.
Never mind me. I'm just a no-name individual sitting here behind the glass, twisting knobs, pushing buttons, and sliding the little slide levers to make sure the audio is at the level it needs to be. But since we happened to make Jeremy Leahy believe that we knew what we were doing while filling in for him for Standing Ground, we somehow got drafted for standing in for Liberty Lighthouse with Peter Serafin. However, I'm not standing in. I am going to introduce you to the three hosts for the stand-in for Liberty Lighthouse. Let me introduce you to them now. Lord Reverend Professor Rusty J. Lugnuts, Holly the Angry Beaver, and Erica Stealth Jackhole. These three will bring you some information and maybe even a little bit of entertainment.
Well, that was interesting.
What an entrance, though, right?
Right? Took away my fire there. I was going to, like, introduce us and all, but he did it. But, yeah, I am Lord Reverend Professor Rusty J. Lugnuts. We have, what is that, at Stealth Jackhole over on Twitter and at Angered Beaver on Twitter. I think mine is at Rusty Lugnuts 08, whatever, don't matter. I think you can follow along with us using hashtag MojoBTeam. Let us know how we're doing. Who knows? We might get something done here. We have a couple of things that'll, I think, are going to make your blood boil. But Beaver has something about, what is it, ungrateful kids?
We have a couple of ungrateful kids. I've realized that I'm glad I don't have kids because I'd probably be in jail for beating their asses. But I saw a couple articles about these ungrateful kids. We have some audio from our man under the floorboard because we don't want to say the man behind the glass because it's not Ron. but I am going to start with a son who smashed up his dad's car with a hammer after his father would not share any of his lottery winnings. So this happened in the UK. A man claimed, well, there's a couple different ones here, but this one is specifically in Corby, England. The father won money, and the family came to literal blows when Alex Robertson refused to share any of his $3.6 million winnings with his son. And one of the sons smashed up the new cars. They literally took a hammer and at 11 o'clock at night, put the claw hammer through the windows of the car.
The new cars, like cars this guy had bought with the lottery winnings.
Uh-huh.
And because the son didn't get any, he took a hammer to them.
Right.
Unreal. I mean,
here's the problem I have. Instead of the father teaching his son a lesson, the authorities ended up having to drop the charges because the father refused to testify.
What?
Yeah. This kid.
Well, okay, well, I mean,
you know, that's your kid. Go ahead.
No, at that point, I'm blaming the parents.
Yep. You made your kid into a brat, And now he's just worse than ever because now he knows he's going to get away with stuff because you're not going to. First of all, I'm trying to think, what would my dad have done? What would my dad have done is if he won the lottery and I asked him for money and he wouldn't give me any, and I took a claw hammer to his car, he'd have taken that hammer out and beat me in the head with it because he would just not have tolerated it. It didn't matter how old I was. He would never tolerate that. He would have actually pressed charges against me and made sure he was at the court the night before sleeping in the car so he didn't wake up too late to get to court. Like, he would never have allowed that. But again, he raised me better and I would never treat my mom like, or my dad like that.
Okay, see, that's the difference too. The fact that our parents would have, we know that they would have done that to us had we ever acted like that, right? But on the other hand, like you said, you were also raised to not act like that, right? I mean, the offhand chance that you're going to lose it and get to that point, that's not how you were raised. Kids right, that are pulling this, obviously, they're raised like that.
How old are the kids involved here? Does it say? Did it
I just went out of it because I'm a dork. Hold on.
Well, there's two boys. Okay, the brother was 44 that was charged with harassing the father by sending him threatening text messages.
Yeah.
He was 44 years old. I mean, that's the one that's charged with just threatening. I mean, I don't know. Oh, because he didn't charge him with the vandalism of the vehicles. Because the father wouldn't. So they couldn't charge him with that. He was charged for sending harassing texts. He's 44 years old.
I mean, at first I thought, you know, kids, I immediately went to like 13 or whatever. And okay, I could see not wanting to press charges against your 13-year-old because they're a damn kid. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do, you know, stupid. But 44, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And also the one person who's probably listening to us right now who has a child that was raised correctly and still acts like a complete and total idiot is now going, it's not my fault. And I'm sorry. I'm sure that that person is out there and it's not your fault. Your child went off the deep end, even though you raised them not to behave like that. I know that can happen. Because, that's not what I'm saying. But in general, it has to do with that.
Full disclosure. I had a similar incident that I heard about in my family that they this happened, but you know, now of course dysfunctional family, but this was way back. This was like, I want to say in the late 40s, early 50s. There was a story about an aunt and my great-grandfather and something, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what all the details were, but she's around teens. She ended up going out and busting all the windows out of her father's car. So, I mean, that's, you know, and this is way back, you know, so.
Here's an interesting tidbit from the article, which I don't think I quite understand. Apparently, the two brothers, after they take the hammers to the 4x4 Shogun cars, these brand new cars, at 11 o'clock at night, they walk up the driveway. They put the claw hammers through the windshields of these cars, and then they turn themselves in. He says, we then reported ourselves to the police.
Sorry, I was looking at the article again, and a video started playing.
Great. No. That's strange, though, right? I mean, they did it, and then they reported themselves to the police. I mean, I guess maybe what you assume your dad's going to call anyway, or what you feel ethically guilty afterwards. But what in the hell is wrong with these people?
I don't know. People are just horrible anymore. I don't understand how people just. Are we really that all about the me part of everything in our lives anymore?
Apparently, we're all about the money, because
absolutely we are. Have you been looking at the internet lately?
Yeah.
If 3.6 million turns you into that, I mean, okay, the guy got 3.6 million. If he buys 10 cars, he's your dad. He's going to kick it at some point. You figure he's going to have something left. I mean,
he's going to kick it.
Right? I mean, you probably will still make out on the fat cash end of this. You just might have to wait till you're your dad's age before you get to benefit from it, right? But he only bought four cars. He's got 3.6 mil. I
Yeah.
mean,
Well,
there's
I mean,
more there,
it doesn't
right?
matter. I mean, parents don't have to leave stuff to their kids. They
No.
could leave it to the pet cat or something, you know? So, I
It
mean,
could be, oh my gosh, can I do that? No, probably not. I probably shouldn't do
if you're going to leave it to somebody, leave it to me.
right?
There you go. All right, Kinsey. I have
Yes.
my audio surprise I need you to play right now.
Months ago, I took my parents to court for having me without my permission, and I won. So the court ordered them to give me $5,000 a month to cover my basic living expenses. Well, they went and had that appealed. So now they don't have to give me any money, and I have to go get a job. And I'm realizing, like, I don't have any work experience or any higher education. Nowhere's paying me $5,000 a month. So how the hell am I supposed to be able to afford my bills? What? Don't have children if you don't want to support them.
And I guess we'll just have to take that to break so you can
And
stew
there we
over
go.
that and then come back with your comments once you get them thought out.
And the two controlling political parties are destroying America. Both parties have spent your tax dollars with reckless abandon. Both parties are more beholden to party leadership than we, the people that they represent. Both parties value power above all else. Neither party respects the limits of the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution made this country great, and it's the U.S. Constitution that is the answer to our political woes. Forget the two ruling political parties and register as a constitutionalist. Support the U.S. Constitution, the just and moral society it creates, and not the two-party system. Join the only national political party that stands for the founding principles of the U.S. Constitution. Learn more, join and support the Constitution Party at constitutionparty.com or your state's Constitution Party website.
Just infuriating when you hear when you hear that that audio. And that was that that girl back, I guess, was it, I don't know if it was this year or last year, that sued her parents for having her without her permission, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. But I don't get it. I don't understand. It's just completely out of the realm of my thought how anybody can even think like that.
So here's the biggest thing. It's like, don't have children if you don't plan on supporting them. Bitch, your parents supported you for at least 18 years. When you become an adult, that is when you take the reins of your own life. You cannot be an eternal child. At some point, you need to grow up. That's what everybody else in the civilized world has done for thousands of years. Why all of a sudden do you feel the need to say that you were born without your permission? Your parents didn't ask your permission? Like, that whole thing blows my mind. You know, if you don't want to be here, there's a way out.
Right?
Seriously.
Right? I mean, they can't do it for you, honey, but you know, there is that saying, I brought you into this world and I can take you out.
But she doesn't have to have their permission to leave. She could just do it if she wanted to. Not that I am condoning suicide, but like, if you're really that unhappy, seek therapy.
Because
about your parents coddling you and taking care of you. They don't need to change your diapers. Are you still shitting in your pants? I hope not.
Right. So her solution to the fact that she doesn't want to take care of, this is where I get. First of all, I remember being so infuriated when she actually won the case in the beginning. What kind of precedent was that going to set? Are you kidding me right now? It was absolutely ridiculous. I'm thrilled that it's going in the other direction because she deserves nothing. Mm-hmm. I want to know her end game. What's your end game? So if you think that because you weren't asked to be born, like what, we're supposed to cause, like, oh dear, I'm plucking certain souls out and I get to choose. No, I'm not asking for permission. Okay, so fine, that's dumb. You're born now. You think it's your parents' responsibility to take care of you for the rest of your life. And your solution to not doing this yourself is to not have children. So at 0 point in her life is there a concept of she has to take care of herself. It's not even about her having kids or about them having to take care of her. When does she plan? Never. Never. That's her plan.
She has nothing.
And now I'm not going to do it.
This is pure laziness. She doesn't want to actually have to take care of herself. She feels that other people, she is so above everybody else in her own demented world because she probably got a trophy for everything. And everybody always is like, oh, you're so wonderful. So she feels that she shouldn't have to take care of herself. Guess what, honey? If you were in the wild, your parents would have left you to die. Okay.
Right.
They're not going to take care of you. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Yes. I'm sorry, but you're doing it wrong. I mean, you cannot go and assume. And I love the $5,000 a month. What an arbitrary number, right? Who decided that that was what you should get a month to live on? Okay.
$5,000 a month. I don't get that. And I work.
Her rich ass parents didn't send her to college. Why did she not have higher education? I mean,
she couldn't get into college. Just because you have money doesn't mean you get to go. I mean, okay. I realize that's probably wrong. Obviously, in most cases, if you have enough money, you can find a way to get into college.
Lazy ass didn't want to go to college. Probably.
The realizations she comes to, she actually says she's so close, she just can't jump over the line. She actually says, I'm realizing I have no higher education. I have no work experience. How am I supposed to take care of myself? But she can't get over the line of, oh, I'm supposed to take care of myself.
Yeah. I have to get a job and I have to make it work.
Right. Right. Whose fault is it you don't have any of that? Your own, honey. Because I'm pretty sure you probably could have done that.
We need to move on. I believe Beaver has an audio surprise for us. Kinsey, can you bring that up?
Oh no,
we already had the audio surprise. Okay. But we do have another somewhat related audio.
Erica.
I mean, all right.
Mm-hmm.
You ever wonder what a Gen X thinks? Welcome to Gen X Talks. I'm Dad.
Here he is again. What do you want?
I was doing some math, and I can't get a job to afford to live on my own.
No, I'm shocked.
Dad, seriously. If I worked at McDonald's or something, I can't afford a house or a car payment or anything, really.
If you get an entry-level job, you're going to get entry-level pay. You can afford an entry-level life. That's how it works.
But that's not really fair. What about the guy who has 3 kids and works at a McDonald's? Doesn't he deserve...
What guy has 3 kids and then goes and gets an entry-level job at McDonald's?
Well, you don't think McDonald's needs to pay that guy a living wage?
There it is. I knew you were doing that. There it is, the living wage demand. No, that is not how you get a raise in today's society. You don't get a job at McDonald's for a minimum wage, then you go home and your wife and come back and go, hey, boss, look, my works, I've got kids now. Come on, give me more money, I deserve it. It's not how it works. If you're having kids before you got a career and a job and you can afford it, you're putting the cart before the horse.
What cart?
It's sort of a proverb. I'm just saying.
What's a proverb?
You're joking, right?
I mean, I heard this and I was blown away. Now, granted, the part about the proverb is bad enough, but I don't know what this kid really thinks. I think it's obvious that he's heard this from his dad before, and he was legitimately trying to record him making this rant that he's obviously heard before. So I don't know what the child really thinks, but it's typical. It's the current culture of what they think they should have.
Okay, I know this audio, I know these video people, and this is, it's completely, it's all set up. The kid is asking, it's all set up questions and stuff. I mean, it's...
Right, you can tell that he's obviously soliciting a response from his dad to make this video. But the point, nevertheless, is well delivered and well taken. Yeah. And here's an example, and I won't mention any names, but we all know, just recently, a friend of ours who has a degree and a paying job in the legal profession, whose boss came to her and said, hey, if either one of your kids are looking for a job, have them get in touch with me. And when she told our friend what the pay was, it was more than what our friend is making. Her boss literally asked her to offer a job to her children that is paying more than what she is currently making.
Wait.
Wow. I didn't know that.
You guys were, yeah. I'm not saying any names, but we all know her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's how it's working. I mean, that's California, if that gives you any idea.
Wow.
But, oh, okay.
Right. So did she confront the boss about this?
I think she's currently looking for other employment, currently seeking a new position.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
isn't that crazy? Like, for your boss, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy.
It's actually not that I have children, but I remember at my old job, they were hiring people at more than what I was making. And I was there for over 5 years.
Right. Right. The only way that we were able to bring in new people, because there is this thing going on right now where it is very difficult to hire people at what they're actually worth, at least at the bottom. If you're hiring entry-level work, to do it at what they're actually worth is almost impossible. You have to pay what everyone else is paying to bring in entry-level, or you're going to be stuck without people coming to work, right? But in order to do that, we had to bring everybody up. Every single person in the company had to be brought up. I mean, and not everybody's going to do that. In half the situations, you're going to lose half your people because you're going to have to lay them off because you can't pay them. And where does this living wage come from? Like, when did I don't know where it crossed the line. When did the idea of working at McDonald's or having that type of job supposed to be able to support yourself?
It's not. It's supposed to be a part-time job or your first job on your way to college or whatever like that. It's
not jobs supposed for kids.
Right. It's not supposed to. And this whole a living wage is just a term that they've used for political correctness.
Right.
And for candidates use this as part of their platforms, because when you hear, oh, living wage, right, we all need to have the big house and the cars and all that. No, that's not how it works.
It's completely backwards.
When you work hard and you save your money, that's how you get it.
You don't have kids so that you can make more money. You make more money so that you can afford to have kids.
Right.
Yeah,
because you're going to need to pay for those kids for the rest of your life, apparently, because they're going to see you because they're not supposed to be born.
To the tune of $5,000 a month if you didn't ask permission.
$5,000 a month.
That great. I mean, not only now do you have to sign an agreement to say that you consented to sex and it has to be in writing, you also now have to say that you've contacted the, you know, hereafter, and you've gotten permission from the soul you may soon create that it's okay to fornicate. Yeah.
And our little audience member here has a point. There are some people that do go into fast food to work up to a management position. My cousin did that.
Yes.
And he is making excellent money as a manager, but you will be working 10 to 12 hour days. You will have to go in when people call off. You have to set schedules and
forever.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to do that, that's fine. But you will make good money. The management definitely makes good money.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for us. Thanks for joining in. Jeez, it flew by, didn't it? Yeah.
That's the first half, Rusty.
I think we have another 30 minutes, but cool, Rusty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was gonna say.
I guess you can take that out.
There's a brand new way to support Liberty Lighthouse and get something great for yourself too, and that's at MyPillow. MyPillow.com/Lighthouse. Use the promo code Lighthouse to get up to 66% off your favorite MyPillow products. I've had the pillows for years, got the towels about a year ago, just got the sheets and the quilt now too. Yes, right, a quilt. Yes, quilts and duvets and everything else you could possibly need for your bed and sleeping. Check it out if you haven't been there in a while. MyPillow.com/Lighthouse. Use the promo code Lighthouse to get yourself up to 66% off.
At-home meal delivery kits are very convenient, but most of them are very expensive too. But not every plate. Every plate is $4.99 a portion. And if you go to liberty-lighthouse.com/everyplate, I'll get you a great introductory offer. We'll start you out with your first box at $1.79 a portion, then two more boxes at $3.99 a portion. So two people getting three meals a week, that'll save you $62 just to try EveryPlate. I personally tried almost every meal delivery kit option out there, and I chose EveryPlate for my every week deliveries. So get started by saving $62 at liberty-lighthouse.com/everyplate.
Whatever. We got more time. Jeez. What is... The way Kenzie stops and starts and you got to edit and all this, it had me all screwed up. So, okay, we got a little more time to talk.
Is it because you're screwed up and because you didn't pay attention to the instructions at the beginning before we start recording?
Oh, we love you, Rusty. We know you're not used to instructions at the beginning of your show.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, I had something just to even bring the ungrateful kids to an even further level of panic in my mind. I'm reading a book. It actually was first published in 2018, so I'm probably late to the game. Maybe a lot of people have read it. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind: How Good Intentions and Bad Ideas Are Setting Up a Generation for Failure. And I'm amazed and terrified by this book. Like, it literally makes our kids that are college age, like secondary education and campus life and culture, it's disturbing. It makes campus trends frightening. You're going to have a generation of kids that are literally unable, or they're not even inclined to want to engage with ideas that make them uncomfortable in any way. It's dire, I think. How do they function then in society? It's like the girl that I made cry at work when I asked her if she was going to look at me when I was talking to her or not. How do you deal with that?
How did you make somebody cry by just asking them if they were going to talk to you?
That's just what happened. Not only that, I was written up for it and she didn't come back to work for almost 2 days. Now, that was when I lived out west, and I think Oregon's a little more, I don't know what they are. I had to leave there. I couldn't deal with people. Who cries at work? Okay, anyway, but this book is insanely terrifying, and it talks about what they're doing and how they're doing it on purpose to these kids that are coming in, and how they're like trying to make them, they're making them dumber, all right? They're trying to make their mind an open door that they can't discern for themselves what is right, what is wrong, what is true, and what is not. From both sides, from the left and from the right, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're susceptible to various forms of authoritarianism at that point. You're open to anything. It's like having a blank mind to hypnotize that can't decide for itself. So it's completely vulnerable. And you're churning them out by the thousands by telling them for how many decades that you have to have a college degree to be successful. And they're not questioning anything. And the book goes into what the authors like call the great, you know, they call them the great untruths, the untruth of fragility, the untruth of emotional reasoning, and the untruth of us versus them. And it basically lays out these three principles and how you're taught things that go directly against actual logic and psychological wellness and you take them in and you accept them as truth. Like, what doesn't make you, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, when it actually doesn't. These things, like, if it just, and I'm reading through it, and it's unreal how they've made language a weapon. And it's not just in schools, right? Like, you guys know, you're seeing it everywhere, right? But they're doing it to the point now where they've started them way earlier. I think at this point, it's starting in kindergarten, where you're being sensitive to language, where you have words that you can and cannot use. I've had to very recently have an actual, like, sexual incident report at work on the job. These kids are both young. One is 23 and one is 25. One is getting married. The other one asks a question about this person. Is she marrying a man or a woman? And by the time it gets back to me, it was, he called her a dyke. And now it's a whole big, huge incident that I have to document in 800 ways to HIPAA and everywhere in HR for a simple question that probably was valid. And had he asked her directly, it wouldn't have been anything crazy. But they're coming out of college like this.
Oh my gosh, I can't even. I was actually just telling you guys about, my husband is in construction. He's working at a college, and they are not allowed to address the students at all. I mean, they're moving heavy equipment around and these kids are just walking in front of it. Like, it's a safety issue for these kids, and they're not allowed to address these kids directly, because if they say anything that the kids don't like and the kids complain, they could lose the job.
Yeah. I've had, and I say young, I mean, under 30, right? But people that are coming out of school, you have a bachelor's degree, you come into work in an office, and you have your own office. You have your own office. And the complaint that you have for me at this age, let's say you're 22, 23, is that you're too close to the bathroom. And if people are going number two, you can't work. I'm sorry, what?
Are you in the bathroom with them? Is your desk in another stall? Is that how small your office is? Like, that?
It's not even like that. I mean, it's not even a straight across doorway across the hall. It's nothing. It's not that at all. They're the most ridiculously fragile people that you almost can't say anything. I have a hard time. Really, I can't even imagine when this generation starts coming out of school. I'm not going to be able to talk to anyone.
You really can't. And so, you can't, you actually, go ahead, Rusty.
Well, so according to Greg, I can't pronounce his last name, Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt, the authors of this, they're saying that this movement that is arising or has arisen or whatever is undirected and driven largely by students. I don't know if I believe that, but
it is. It is. They talk about how it started because the students were protesting the use of certain things, like, we shouldn't be reading Homer, it's violent. And they were writing essays and they were protesting the language, which is why I was saying I think it's starting a lot earlier now, because their, you know, student angst is normal. But the level of, you know, you're coming into college already set up to believe that you have certain rights and, you know, emotions that should be assigned to you and you have to be taken care of. It's a continuation.
There was an article in the New Yorker about law students asking fellow professors at Harvard not to teach rape law, or in one case, even to use the word violate, lest it cause students distress.
Right.
So just words themselves are two terms have quickly have risen quickly from obscurity. Microaggression is one of them. And for example, by some campus guidelines, it is a microaggression to ask an Asian American or Latino American, where were you born? Because this implies that he or she is not a real American. Trigger warnings is the other one, are alerts that professors are expected to use if something in the course might cause a strong emotional response.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That enraged me. You have to actually say to the classroom full of people, trigger warning in case you say something. And they do go into in here, which I also find very interesting, social media's part. And it's not just complicit. It's not like they've allowed it. It's channeling. They're intentionally channeling partisan passions. I think they're creating the call-out culture, right? And they're telling you that you should be in this self-confirming bubble, and this is where you are, and all of your worst fears of everything are confirmed, and we're just going to amplify it for you all day long. And by the time you get out into the real world, you are nothing but a ball of mush in designer clothing.
I just want to say something, because we went from kids that were freaking tough that stormed the beaches of Normandy in 1944 to fight pure evil. They were so tough going into this, knowing that they could probably die, but they went anyway. In 78 years, which is not that much time on this little thing we call the Earth, we've went from people being like, I can't hear that. I need my gray closet. What the hell? We have failed as a society. Where has this happened that we just became so pussified? Like, seriously. You know what? F your feelings. I'm done.
They actually talk about that when we got so codified. They talk about this cognitive behavioral therapy that came about like in the 1960s as maybe a starting point or like a new theory that was put out there that seemed to be pushed or adopted. I mean, it was kind of like a bucking to Freud's theory. It's a little bit off of the Freudian path, right? So it was something different. And they talk about how that was might have been the initiation of the whole problem, and how they put it into the psychology side of it first so that you begin using it as how to help. And they really go into the effects that all this has on the teenage depression rate, the teenage anxiety rate, the teenage suicide rate. And I'm not done. So maybe it goes further into young adult rates and the effect on it when you enter the workforce. But it's absolutely astounding. And I mean, I still have a daughter that's a junior in high school. She's intending on going to school. I know she doesn't want to go away to a 4-year. She wants to do all of her core work first because she's not really sure what her degree, what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. So I support that. I don't know if she'll ever go into a traditional 4-year university, but I don't even know why people are encouraging it at this point. It's child abuse. It's detrimental.
But it's not just the colleges. This went people being too overprotective of their kids.
Yes.
You need to allow your kids to fail. You need to allow your kids to experience a lot of different emotions. And I'm all for working through your emotions, understanding why you're feeling a certain way, stuff like that, because that's how you learn how to adapt to situations. But this whole, like, you are so protective of your child that you're not allowing them to understand certain things. You're not allowing them to understand failure, because you can keep failing, but there's a point where you get up and you're going to succeed at some point. There's so many of these things that we've done over the years. You know why we're tough-skinned? Because we had parents who were strict. They had a set of rules, and if we broke them, we got our asses beat. That's how it works.
Yeah. Imagine too. Right. Okay. So let's say everybody gets the trophy, that whole thing, right? I mean, let's just start way back in the beginning where that is. Imagine all the kids. All right. If I wanted to do something at that age and I didn't make the team, right? You try out, you don't make the team. My parents would say to me, maybe that's not your thing. It doesn't mean you're not a good person. Maybe that's not your thing.
Right.
Maybe you find what is your thing. And so if that's really what you want, let's work towards that, right? Here's how we make the team. Imagine all the things that kids never even investigated, never thought about trying, because they were just awarded for just being average at what they were doing, and that was okay. Why go look for something I can excel at or be really passionate about or really enjoy doing, because I can just get rewarded for doing what everybody else is doing.
You know what, when this really started, and this was just before everybody gets a trophy, hear me out. I'm telling you, bicycle helmets. How many of us above 40 years old, how many of us had bicycle helmets?
I did not. I still cannot wear one. I think they're stupid.
I didn't have one, and I actually did smash my bike, so that might be another missing link.
No. I mean, seriously, and soccer, okay? This is when soccer came in. I'm telling you, soccer is the form of all evil. It's part of all that evil thing. But anyway, yeah, bicycle helmets. When all that, you gotta protect little Jimmy. Who would now let their child come home, 8-year-old child come home and stay 3 or 4 hours by themselves? Latchkey kids. How many would do that now? None.
Oh, no one. People would tell you you're a horrible parent. If your child has to come home alone.
Right. Yeah, what was that lady that let her kid walk like half a block to the playground because he was meeting somebody else and like somebody called the police? Yeah. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, 9 years old, I think, oh, is that really young? But I'm like, no, I used to walk like a mile and a half to my friend's house. And I was on a country road where anybody could have kidnapped me and nobody would know what happened.
At nine years old, a group of us, right? Like maybe I was 9 and the oldest kid was 13. And we would ride like 3.5 miles into downtown, buy a ton of candy and ride back. I mean,
it's garbage. This protective bubble thing started there and it has just grown. From freaking bicycle helmets. I'm telling you, that was the beginning.
Well, I think everyone should read this book. I'm really enjoying it.
I actually ordered it, so mine will be coming soon and I'm going to start it. I actually, when you guys were talking about it in the preliminary part, I want to buy this and I want to give this to like everybody.
Right. And Rusty says it's above his pay grade, but it's not a hard read. It's very well written. And I keep underlining. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know, and I don't do it much anymore. Right. But a lot of this in working with kids, when I used to work with the kids that have ACC, right. Even though I don't do that much anymore, you spend a lot of time dealing with very overprotective parents. I mean, essentially, these kids are missing the middle of their brain. So you are dealing with parents who are very like, oh, no, don't let them fall, or oh, no, don't tell them this, or oh, no, don't tell them that. And it feels like you're seeing that type of protection. And I understand that you have a child who's severely disabled. I don't understand acting like that when you have a child that is 100% disabled.
All right, we got to let Peter pay some bills here, so we'll pick this back up on the other side of this.
I'm Peter Serafine, author of the book So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand, and host of Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio and WBN 324, the World Broadcasting Network. I'd like to tell you about one of the ideas in So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand. House Resolution 46, One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act. You see, Congress today looks more like a mob racket than the government our Constitution established, and H.R. 46 goes a long way to fixing that. H.R. 46, One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act would require that any bill or resolution in the House only deals with one subject at a time. Any amendments added to the bill have to directly relate to the subject of the bill. That eliminates bad bills passing simply because they're attached to those must-pass bills. H.R. 46 also makes it so that the title of the bill must accurately describe the purpose of the bill. So no more puppies are cute bills that add taxes and change laws. The One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act also forbids spending bills from changing unrelated laws. The One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act was first introduced in the last session of Congress and was sent to the House Judiciary Committee to die. Representative Andy Biggs reintroduced the bill again last year on the first day of the current session of Congress. 3 months later, it was again sent to the Judiciary Committee to die. I want to bring attention to this bill. I want the citizens to know that a simple, common sense piece of legislation is being killed by House leadership. I have started a petition to support H.R. 46. You can read the entire text of the one-page bill and sign that petition at liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46. Please share it with everyone you know and on every social media platform you use. We need a huge public outcry, for simple fixes like this will never happen. Again, please read the full bill and sign the petition at liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46.
Yeah, that's a really important H.R. 46, I believe you said. It makes too much sense, actually, for anything like that to get passed. But yeah, it definitely needs it.
Could you imagine if this anti-inflation bill actually had this H.R. 46 was passed, because we would not have to be dealing with all of the green laws or green regulations that they put into the anti-inflation bill.
Yeah. I really believe that the convention of states really, really needs to happen, but whether or not we can actually ever get that pulled off.
I don't think you can. I think there's too many.
Yeah. There's
far left.
I mean, we're only at, and I could be wrong, so I'm sure someone will correct me, but I think we're at 24 states that have voted for the convention of states, but we need 32. You need 32 states.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know how we're doing. Hit us hashtag Mojo B Team, because I'm obviously a B Team member. And I'm still learning, whatever.
Because he doesn't have the D. Anyway, I think our man below the floorboard has an audio that's going to annoy us. So take it away there, man below the floorboard.
Yeah.
Feel free to speak up if you want me to stop anywhere in the middle of it, or if you want me to go back to any part of it.
Okay. All right, y'all, why am I pro-choice and why will you never be able to change my mind? This is why. I'm going to tell you a story, but first I'm going to warn you about this story. It's graphic, and if you don't want to hear it, please keep scrolling, because this may not be the video for you if you are faint of heart. All right. 11:42 a.m. One day I get a call for a one-year-old not breathing. Dispatch advises me along the way, hey, also, the caller seems to be a child. If there is anything that will make your gut churn and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, it is that right there. We get on scene and come to find out we're two houses short of where we're supposed to be because the caller is 4 years old. I go sprinting into this house past the four mangy, vicious dogs outside. No door on the house. Make entryway when my partner moves the truck, to find a police officer rubbing a little small baby boy's back. He says he has a pulse. Great. I see dirt floors. I see trash everywhere. I see no adults. I start yelling, where are the parents? Two crackheaded women come emerging from the back. And I say that with absolute certainty that they were, because one still had a loaded syringe and the other still had a tourniquet on her arm. All right. I scoop up this child. That's all I need to see. I don't need to ask them any questions. I don't care. I care about this baby because I care about life. All right, scoop him up. We take him outside. Officer stays to get more information. He later comes back with the kid's information. He also tells me that mother believes that he choked on a popsicle. No, sir, because the only thing I see in his mouth is blood, and popsicles don't usually cause those, nor is there any popsicle stains down him, his body, or in his diaper, since that's all he was wearing. Okay, go get me the real story. Father then gets on scene, makes his way into my truck, tells me to lay hands off of his child, that he will do with him what he pleases. No, sir. No, sir, we're not doing that today, because the only thing standing in between your son and the gates of heaven right now is me. So that's what we're going to do today. You can get the fuck out my truck. Thank you. So as we forcibly remove him from my truck and we continue to bust our ass and go to war for this baby, we get a pulse and he's breathing. And we go to the hospital, right? We stop at their helipad because I already had air medical on the way. They're already en route. They were waiting by the time we got there. When I say it's a thing of beauty to have every intersection in our town blocked off by cop cars and to drive there, and this was the most beautiful call I'd ever ran. It is one of the best ones in my career. It really was. This child lived. Air medical got him to their facility, and he was stable. He was so stable, they let him go home 6 hours later. And when I tell you that it breaks my absolute heart that the next day I got a call from one of my coworkers saying that that child died at home in the care of his parents at 3:27 p.m. You can make people birth babies. You can't make them be parents or mothers.
So in the beginning, she says she's pro-choice.
Yeah.
But then she screams about it's a life.
Yeah, she's saying she's pro-choice because there, people that can't be responsible for their children shouldn't be forced to have them. Is I think that
that's basically what she's saying without actually coming out, just physically saying it. But
right.
You can't say that you're pro-choice and say that you're fighting for life if you're pro-choice.
Well, she's obviously saying I'm pro for these dirtbags killing their children. Even though she is trying to save them, she would rather have them have the choice to not have the child than have to be put in that situation that where look, she's saving them. I know Holly, I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't agree with her at all. I think that's she's not all right,
well,
clear.
I'm going to give you my thing on the choice thing, and it's not going to be popular. I think that it should be an option up to a heartbeat. Once it has a heartbeat, all bets are off. But that requires, I mean, you're not responsible enough to, wear a condom or have your whatever other wear a condom or whatever. You're not responsible enough to do that. You're not going to be responsible enough to keep track of, hey, I just had sex, I might be pregnant, and getting that checked out.
Here's the thing.
I don't know how soon you can tell, if it's even possible to tell if you're pregnant before there's a heartbeat. I don't know. I don't know what the different stages are. I guess I'm ignorant in that fact, but yeah.
Why, if they knew that there were drugs involved, was the child allowed to go back to that home?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a complete failure, right?
Yeah.
It's probably also not, you don't know the total history. It's probably also not the first time that child's ever been taken to the hospital because of the parents.
It's absolutely tragic, and it's absolutely horrible. But that is a huge failure on... I mean, look at that Justine Peltier or whatever, where the parents wanted to not give this a specific medical treatment because it went against what the regular doctor was treating her, and they confiscated the daughter. And now instead of being able to walk, she's in a wheelchair for the rest of her life because that hospital thought that they knew what was best for her, even though it went against everything that her original doctor was treating her for. But this kid is taken by ambulance to a hospital, and they all talked about how they had drugs in the house and they let the kid go back? Seriously?
Well, here's the other thing. It's a very limited view. She's pro-choice because there are dirtbags out there that do this to their own children. Okay, fine, I can see that. But there's a lot of people that have abortions that don't have dirty floors and kids in diapers and are using drugs. And it's not just people like that, right? I mean,
it's not.
Yeah. That doesn't really, she's not really dealing, she's pro-choice, but she's not really dealing with the why or the reality of that bad decision.
Well, I guess that about wraps it up. Thank you all for joining us. I hope we give you all a little bit of entertainment, and maybe we'll see you somewhere else.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. And don't forget to use the hashtag MojoBTeam.